What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Q&A time. Let's go ahead and get it in. Chris says, where do you think the Rascals will go? WWE. I think they're all headed to WWE. I think they all have standing offers. I think they'll fit in really good there. They should be immediately thrust into the NXT tag team title picture. Sean says, when do you think Nia and Shayna lose their tag titles, and who do you think beats them? I do not know who beats them. I would assume Riot Squad, but there are no plans for that as of right now. Do you know if Melina and Ronda Rousey are coming back to WWE? I do not know if Ronda Rousey's coming back. The report was that Melina is coming back, but I have heard absolutely nothing about Melina coming back. I didn't hear anything about her coming back back when she was announced as being signed by WWE or returning. So I don't know where that came from, and I have not had any insight about that. How do you feel about Drew versus Roman? Is this a good idea in your eye, and can it have any logical follow-through later? I think it is an okay idea. I think it would be a better idea if Drew wouldn't have just lost several matches. Drew lost the tag team match, then he lost to Randy Orton, who he had already beaten multiple times, and that does not look good. That doesn't look great. To me, you would want the very best, tip-top, winner, 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 against another winner, winner, winner. I believe that Roman Reigns will beat Drew McIntyre, and I think there can be something there that they play into. And that would be that Roman Reigns has never lost to Drew McIntyre. Now, that would be in the future. Because Roman Reigns beat Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania 35. He beat him on Raw about a month later. It was by DQ, but he beat him anyway. Then he beat him at Stomping Grounds the next month in a 17-minute match, I think. 17, 18 minutes that one went. And the thing was, it was a very good match. But nobody really thought that Roman Reigns was going to lose any of those. After that, they have not wrestled again. And I think that if Roman keeps beating Drew, it's like Drew has overcome everything. But he has not overcome Roman Reigns ever. Will Tessa Blanchard be signed with a wrestling company by the end of the year or start of next year, and where do you think she ends up? No, I don't think she will. So that's really a moot point. But no, I don't think that Tessa Blanchard will be signed anywhere by the end of next month. Jacob asks, what do you think Mox will do next in AEW if he loses the title to Omega? Well, I think if he loses the title to Omega, then right after that, I think that he quarantines for 14 days. And then I think he goes to Japan, I think he does Wrestle Kingdom, and then I think he comes back after he quarantines for another 14 days. I fully believe that Jon Moxley will end up working Wrestle Kingdom or something like that and dropping the title, and then coming back probably with a renewed feud or maybe running it back with Omega, because by then it'd be about a month in. So I think that he'll probably go right back. Reed says, do any companies classify wrestlers as employees at this point? No, unless they've got an office job as well. How successful is have the United Wrestling Network pay-per-views been thus far? I don't think very. I just know that they have a little something to do with the NWA, so I don't know if there's a kickback there. Anakin says, do you find it hard sometimes to not go all sour graps on what WWE does and keep an air of positivity? Well, I like to think that I keep an air of objectivity, and that was one of the reasons why I felt it was best for Alex to have his own show, was he couldn't be objective about it. He was going to dislike almost everything because of the history of WWE, so I was like, you know what, there's an appetite for that. Let's give Alex his own show. He deserves his own show. He deserves his own creative direction, but I wanted the shows on the main feed to be a bit more objective, and no, I don't have a problem with it. You all have heard me say before, like, I enjoy AEW more than WWE. That's not something I would have said a year ago, like, because I would have been like, oh my God, people won't think I'm objective. I don't give a shit now. I've proven that one show is better than the other because one follows tropes and does the same stuff over and over again, and the other one breaks a lot of those tropes, and I like that. So, yeah, it is tough sometimes, but I've reviewed so much wrestling that it's not really something that I go into and I'm ready to be mad at. I want to enjoy everything. Like, whether it's a 3-hour Raw or a 1-hour episode of MLW, like, I want to enjoy it going in, and I've got a very low baseline for my satisfaction because it's the thing I care about most in my life besides my family. Anakin says, several years ago, RVD said in court he would never pass a WWE physical to be cleared. Based on what we've seen of him, do you think that he would now? No, I don't think that he would now. I think that most of those are concussion-related issues. And, yeah, I just don't think that he would. Anakin says, I'm sure Aleister Black isn't happy right now as he asked for his release, and would WWE grant it? I don't think WWE would grant it, and I don't think that he has. At least I haven't heard that he has, and I did ask. Reed says, I've really liked the announcing of Andy Shepherd in NXT UK. I think he's very good. Do you know what he was doing and where before NXT UK? Yes, I'm actually very familiar with him. He did a lot of stuff for David Haye when he did his comeback, and he did Bama, which if a lot of you don't know what that is, probably it's a British MMA company that is, I would say, fairly successful. They produced a ton of UFC caliber athletes and people that have went over there. I think he did some stuff for Red Bull and some of their, I think diving is what I remember from when he got hired. But yeah, he's been around. He's done a lot of different things, and it's the mark of a good broadcaster, and he's done really, really good. I like him a lot. David says, when there is a COVID vaccine, will WWE stars be recommended to get it? If a star like Nia Jax refuses, could they not be used on TV for a while? I would imagine they could not be used on TV for a while. But the thing is, like, when you see these vax deniers and these anti-vaxxers, like, especially in WWE, I'm pretty sure they have to get vaccinated before they go overseas for a lot of stuff anyway. So I don't quite understand that. And, man, just do the right thing. My God, it's just so frustrating to see. Jim says, assuming talents such as The Rock and John Cena are already members of SAG, do you know if WWE has to adjust their contracts so they're up to guild standards? Or is that something they don't have to worry about since pro wrestling isn't exactly within SAG focus? I haven't heard of any adjustments of their deals, but then again, John Cena and The Rock aren't exactly feeding me news. But I've not heard any situation like that before, at least as a result of SAG. Ron Patel, the sponsor of No Profanity September, said, have you ever wanted to do an interview with a wrestler but found out they have health problems or passed away? Yes. I guess you could say three of them. One of my dream interviews, I've got like a list of about 20 people that are like my dream interviews. One of them is Ted Turner. I've been nowhere close to interviewing Ted Turner, but his cognitive ability isn't quite where it used to be. But there was also an interview I was seeking out, and that was Chris Warren, who did the vocals for the DX theme and some of the X-Pac themes and Triple H's theme at one point, the My Time theme. I was going to do a long-form feature on the music of pro wrestling. I wanted to interview Jim Johnston and Dale Oliver, Jimmy Hart. Chris Warren was going to be a big part of that, and unfortunately, he passed away. This is when I had really made my mark doing long forms, like the Brawl for All thing, and I think it was the Muhammad Hassan long form. Before I really broke a lot of news, I was doing a lot of long form stuff, and I really wanted that one, and he would have been a very important part. So much so that when he passed away, I just stopped gathering quotes for it. I didn't even bother anymore because I think that he would have been too important to that. My hope was to have it be one of the, probably a second or third long form for Fightful.com because I had a follow-up with Muhammad Hassan. I had one with Gerald Harris, one of my favorite MMA fighters. I had one with him and another one, but he passed away like maybe 3 weeks before we launched Fightful. And yeah, I'm very bummed out. I would maybe try to make that work if I could get some other people that were involved with his group and maybe a family member of his. And then the other one, I didn't even have Chris Warren set. That's the thing. I was in the process of contacting him. However, unfortunately, last year there was one that I had set. That was Ashley Massaro. I reached out to her a few weeks before StarCast. She was supposed to be there in Vegas. And even though you can kind of walk the floor at StarCast sometimes and just grab people for interviews if their lines are light, there's a lot of people I wanted to reach out to ahead of time, and she was one of them. And unfortunately, we lost her. And I didn't get to do that interview. And unfortunately, her family does not have a loving member of their family. So, yeah, there's a few. Any word on when Andrade and Charlotte are going to be back? I don't know. It depends on when Andrade had his elective surgery, because I don't think it was supposed to sideline him that long. And I don't know, have any idea on Charlotte. Ron says, since Chelsea Green got hurt, does this mean Santana Garrett may show up on SmackDown? Wouldn't surprise me. There have been a lot of different pitches for both of them and Vanessa Bourne, but none of them have come to fruition. Even one of the pitches that was supposed to happen on Friday, the victorious name for Chelsea Green, didn't happen. That was a weird situation. I had some on that on Fightful Select, but that was also very weird. It wouldn't shock me to see it, but I don't. As of Monday, there were no imminent plans for that to happen. Matt Hookie says, is there any truth to the rumor that FTR saying that they had signed a multi-year deal was a work, and they actually finished or will soon be finished with AEW? I don't think so. I have heard that rumor. I will ask. I'll see what I can find out. Matt says, in 5 years' time, which wrestling show will have the most viewers, total number, and key demo on US TV? I think Raw will have the highest viewership. I think AEW will have the highest key demo. Matt says, do you think Tony Khan needs to start producing JR more? I've always been a fan of his, but I'm getting tired of him shitting on things he doesn't like on the air. It's one thing of him expressing his dislike of Elite Deletion match and wrestlers catching high-flying opponents, but shitting on Chris Statlander's gimmick is pretty unforgivable to me. Yeah, I mean, here's how I feel about that. Yes, he should. But also, there are some things that need produced. I'm not a big fan of Chris Statlander's gimmick. I would adjust it. I would change it. I don't think that doing cartwheels and booping people in the middle of a title match is a great idea. I don't think letting people up from a pin during a title match is a great idea. If people didn't like the Elite Deletion match, that's on them. But it's not JR's job to talk about what he does or doesn't like. Okay, I should specify. It's not his job to bury stuff on the show. On his podcast, I'm sure he can do whatever the hell he wants. So yeah, I would say so. Bryant says, life question. What is something you've learned about yourself during the COVID-19 era of life? Well, when I experienced depression for the first time in my life, I learned that it's okay to go back to things that you're familiar with making you happy. Like, for so long, I was like, man, I always liked the idea of wrestling figures or something, but I didn't want to collect them. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe this will make me happier. Maybe it'll make me feel better. And I started to do that, and it helped me. Familiarizing myself with things that made me happy when I was younger really helped me out. I was okay dealing with the COVID pandemic era from March, April, May, June, July. And really, I mean, I fell into a depression then, but I didn't need to leave the house until around July or August, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I had to get out of the house. I have learned to separate myself from work a little bit better. When you do the type of job that a lot of us in wrestling media do, you're usually working in the same place that you live, and it's very hard to separate that because you're always 30 feet away from your workstation, usually. Unless you have like a gigantic house or something, you can pretty well get to your workstation in less than 20, 30 seconds. So it is difficult to separate yourself sometimes, and I have learned to do that a little bit better. Nathan says, I know you don't like going to live events, but is there something that you miss being able to do with wrestling but can't since COVID? Yeah, I was at Toy Vomit, Toy HQ, this past week, and I got to meet some people that actually read Fightful. That was very cool. I missed that. I do miss covering AEW events live. I do not miss interviewing wrestlers in person. Not a bit. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I'm not Chris Van Vliet. I'm not as good as him at interviewing in person. I think that interviewing via Skype, Zoom, whatever, I think I'm one of the best there is at that. And I really prefer that. So I'll probably stick with that method. But yeah, I miss covering AEW events for sure. Nathan says, I know WWE is looking at other arenas they could put the Thunderdome, but with the hope of a vaccine coming soon, do you think they'll put that aspect and wait until they can have fans back? No, I don't think they'll put that on hold. I think they'll take Thunderdome with them wherever they go, and I think they'll go to Tampa or St. Petersburg. Cameron says, do you think any company will mention Biden as president since some completely avoided mentioning Trump? No, I think they'll just avoid it unless it's a part of a bit. Is Drake Wirtz an unnecessary problem for WWE? Yes, he sure is. I don't know why some of the harebrained shit he's involved with hasn't been kiboshed, or at least... I mean, I got people in my inbox about him every week. I'll just say that. Aiden says, who benefited from the heavy machinery split? Neither one of them. Neither one of them benefited from the heavy machinery split. Otis lost his briefcase. Tucker lost his partner and lost his push. None of them benefited from it. Aiden also asks, can you tell us what you purchased at Toy Vomit last weekend and what catches your eye going forward in the store? Man, you would swear I'm paid by them. They did sponsor that video that I did, but other than that, I'm not paid by Toy Vomit. I just love it so much, and I will always be so happy that I found them when I did, because like I just mentioned, it helped me overcome a very brief bout with depression, and I will never, ever forget that. So what I purchased this week was a Brian Christopher Jax Bone Cruncher green vest with polka dots. I didn't have that color variant. I got a Sable in her gown. I didn't have that one. And I got a Hardcore Holly Backlash Series Bone Cruncher. This was after they had planned on stop making Bone Crunchers. So I got that. I'm now starting to collect the later series Bone Crunchers, the ones, some of them with face scans that I didn't originally want, but I'm thinking, what the hell? Looking forward, I'm going to collect all the AEW stuff, so that's something that I've got my eye on. I bought from Ringside Collectibles the Blood Brothers 2-pack. Also, I got my wife a Harry Potter vinyl Funko Pop, whatever they're called. I got her one of those. I got my eye on a little bit of everything. You never know what I might start collecting. I've considered like WCW Galoob, but one of the things I liked about Bone Crunchers it was so inexpensive. That's why I don't want to sink thousands and thousands of dollars into this. I can go there to that store and I can buy mint in box Jax Bone Crunchers for $8 or $10, and on eBay it'll cost me $15 or $16 for a loose figure that's used and dirty and all that. So I'm mainly looking to round out that collection, But I'm open to maybe WCW Toy Biz, or I think Toy Biz, or the San Francisco Toy Makers. SRS question 3, are Scott Hall and Sean Waltman okay? I'm not familiar with what's going on with Scott Hall, or if anything is going on with him, but I see you asking about Sean Waltman walking away from a long-term solid podcast. I don't want to speak for him, because I don't know what happened there. That'd be a better question for Denise. She was a part of that show. But, yeah, he did walk away from it for the time being, but also there's COVID. There's no AfterBuzz studio going on right now. I don't think it did, like, monster numbers or anything, so it wouldn't shock me to see him do a podcast in the future. Skyler says, how are you feeling about the current ROH product? Feel like it's better than it has been in a good while. Seems like every match has a story and a purpose. I agree, and the sad reality is they have been least hurt by no crowd than any other wrestling company, because quite frankly, the crowd that ROH had didn't make any fucking noise to begin with, and that was a big problem for me. They would go to places like Sam's Town, and this audience would be dead asleep. And oh, by the way, they'd have a giant video board in the background, so you wouldn't even know if there were 100 or 2,000 people there. I like the new studio, or I don't want to say the studio setup, the new production they have there. It's way better. Skylar Russell says, do you think EC3's new character is just kind of bland? It reminds you of a QAnon conspiracy nerd. I don't know if it's QAnon conspiracy nerd. It hasn't hit with me yet. I'm still waiting to see, like, the next gear of it. It seems to me like it's more of him targeting people that are at risk of doing the same thing he did. Of having like a stupid Derek Bateman character and then building yourself up and then throwing it away for the sake of WWE or something like that. Sean Murray says, will NXT wrestlers have to give up their streaming platforms before being called up? Will that make some hesitant to go up to Maine? If that's the caveat, then yes. I'm not sure why exactly NXT wrestlers can keep theirs. But yeah, I know that it's an issue. I know a lot of people are just trying to keep their head down about it and not worry about that. I do think it will affect whether some of these people in NXT want to go up to the main roster, quote unquote, because if they're going to make more money off of Twitch in general than they would on their WWE contract, but they can keep their NXT deal and work every Wednesday, well, that's going to be an aspect that they have to look at and make a personal decision on that. Ray says, Jordynne Grace is on the phone with her Knockouts tag team partner for next week. She mentioned that this person is coming out of retirement, Gail Kim. I'm going to try to find out this week. I'll definitely know ahead of the show next week. I think maybe like Lufisto, because she was supposed to retire and then didn't. And I know she's big on Lufisto. When you do these Q&A shows, are you doing these in one big shot or do you record them in chunks? Lots of info in a short time. It's impressive, but I have to imagine you take breaks, right? Not really breaks. It does take me about 2 hours to film an hour. So if I'm doing like 40 minutes, it'll take me about an hour 10, hour 20, maybe around there. But I don't do these on video for that reason. I don't want to get anything wrong that I can definitely make sure is right. So I pause in between each question and then I hit the recording again. Dev said, when Randy won the WWE Championship from Drew, I thought for sure Edge and Randy would be in the title match at Mania. What do you think that match will be now? Maybe Drew and Cena or something like that. I don't have an idea where they'll go for a title match because they don't have anybody ready. They don't have anybody primed and ready to go. But then again, this time last year, they didn't either. And Drew emerged as that guy. But I think, I hope it's not Edge and Orton. That would be bad. I could see them doing Drew and Fiend. Oh, my God. Him in the picture again. Woof. This time last year, WWE women tag team titles were in a prominent storyline with Charlotte and Becky and the Kabuki Warriors, and then this year with Sasha and Bayley. Given they've gutted the tag division and put the titles on the back burner, are there any plans for the belts? No, there are no plans for the belts, but there's like no plans for them to go away, so to speak, anyway. Or either, rather. Joshua Cyprian says, who do you think is the most underrated wrestler in AEW? Stu Grayson. He's very good. If WWE were to bring back the Cruiserweight Classic, who would you like to see in that tournament? Lee Moriarty jumps off the page to me. Leo Rush, I'd like to see back in there. Blake Christian, I would like to see RJ City. I want to see them patch things up with ACH and him to be there as well. AR Fox, those are off the top of my head. Yeah, those are the ones that I would really, really like to see pop up there. If Rhea Ripley gets called up to the main roster, what brand do you think would be better for her? They would have her on Raw, I think. They got to have her on Raw so they can ruin her really good and quick. Jake says, with Sky looking like a singles guy now, is SCU just mainly uses a veteran jobbing team on screen who will put on great matches and do great behind-the-scenes work with the company? It seems that way. Scorpio even told me that he was now definitely more focused on a singles career and was more well-adjusted than he was a year ago. But this was always kind of the plan. But, I mean, they did face FTR, and they had a match on Dark with Ray Rosas and Ryzen. And yeah, but that's really all he's done with SCU for quite a while. But that was always the plan, was to launch him in that. How much did you know WrestleTalk before Quizzlemania? A little bit. Ollie and Luke reached out to me last year about possibly coming aboard. And I greatly like those guys, but I'm Fightful probably for life. That's what I would like to be. I'd like to be in Fightful forever. But I had a very good impression of them because they made me a very nice offer last year and one that under any other circumstances I would have gladly taken. And since knowing them now, even more so. They have definitely done nothing to sully that. I really, really enjoy working with those guys. Like, there's no other place I could probably do work within wrestling because they get it. They understand it so much. And how having a good personality and entertaining people goes a long way in that. Jake Schwall says, based on Callis' comments about Omega being an impact, if AEW never existed, where do you see the major stars ending up today between Impact, WWE, and New Japan? Well, first off, I want to specify. I quote tweeted that and I said, come on. I think he would have done an appearance. I think that Callis could have definitely got him to do an appearance. I don't think there's a chance in hell Kenny Omega signed with Impact Wrestling. I think he'd either be in WWE or New Japan. I think Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega all probably would have stayed in New Japan, but stepped up their U.S. dates for doing other stuff. I do think that they all would have talked to WWE, but I think about 55% would have went. I think it would have been like 55-45 New Japan to WWE. I don't think any of them would have ended up in Impact Wrestling signed. Brian says, aside from Mox versus Omega, what are you most looking forward to the rest of the year for major promotions? Lame duck wrestling and fighting season, if you will. Edwards versus Chimaev is number one for me, while I'm more interested in usual than the World Tag League and Survivor Series. Nothing jumps off the page. I'm excited to see what ROH puts together for Final Battle, because they got to put something good together. That's probably the thing I'm most interested in. Edwards and Chimaev, that's going to be good. I really like that. Major jumping competition for Chimaev in the UFC. Rob says, more of a statement, but I'll ask your opinion on it too. The Rascals were criminally underused in Impact. Not a single title for any of them in 2+ years. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. They hang around the top. But not giving any of them a title is bad. They won the Turkey Bowl. Xavier did at least. Yeah, they were underused. Big time. They had their 2-year deals and they proved that they could do a whole lot of stuff. And as a result, they're moving on. I mean, Impact is a stepping stone for almost everybody. There's some people that just like the schedule. They can live on that amount of money and they don't have to do anything else. Or they can keep a day job if they want to with it. But yeah, a lot of them moving on. A lot of people going to be moving on between now and January, I think. And I think that Trey Miguel, Zach Wentz, and Desmond Xavier are going to do really, really good. Rob asks if Tony Khan's game-shifting surprise was Pac returning or Shaq debuting. Pac returning. Matt says, what type of content would you like to be added to Fightful Select once it moves to the website? Well, I can tell you one of the things. We are capitalizing on Jeremy and Joe's surging popularity. They will be doing the retro reviews now. Louis and Alex were good. Alex couldn't do it anymore, and we thought it was best to move to a Fightful personality. I have a series called Sean Ross Stories coming up where I talk about specific things that I covered or experiences. Some things off the top that we're going to talk about there. We're going to talk about the behind the scenes of Serve Tall, the event that didn't happen WrestleMania weekend. We'll talk about the Eminem story that a lot of people got confused and mixed up and what all went into that. I have a lot of people that ask about my wrestling matches and my wrestling training. We'll do that. We'll talk about my time at What Culture. That is a story that a lot of people always seem to ask me about. We'll talk about me and Jimmy and Andrew, our experience in Vegas covering Double or Nothing. I'll talk about a lot of those, like when I went to Toronto to cover SummerSlam, when I went to Chicago to cover Revolution, when I went to Chicago to cover All Out. I'll do a lot of that, especially travel trips. Royal Rumble in San Antonio and Evolve, meeting Riddle, a lot of things like that. The story of getting my hair cut, behind the scenes at AEW for that, writing for Bill Apter. If I'm open to a lot of things like that. Things that I can lend unique experience to, and almost always I'll have a guest on. I had somebody say, oh, we'll talk about Quizzlemania stuff and behind the scenes of that. I'll try to give to that as much as I can without exposing any trade secrets for WrestleTalk or anything like that. There was a pitch to do a street fight show where I have people on and we talk about street fights that we have seen and witnessed. And I like that idea. I think that's a fun, interesting story that I can do with whether it be fans, wrestling, or media, just a little bit of a different approach there. We'll have some more personality-driven things. And listen, I am open to hearing pitches for Fightful Select shows. I'm open to hearing pitches about it. If you want to get your start, that's a nice place to get your start at, because we'll be looking to add more content there on Fightful Select when we go over to the main site. As I mentioned, I don't know what the price will be. It will still be the cheapest in premium wrestling coverage, but everything will be on there. Early access, Fightful Wrestling Weekly, the match ratings and those blog things will move over there full time. They will no longer be on the main site. They'll be on FightfulSelect.com. So you will be getting more exclusive coverage as well. Matt says, which personalities or legends that haven't been rumored for Undertaker's farewell would you like to see show up? The fake Undertaker. I'd like to see Brian Lee. I asked Tom Pritchard about him. He didn't know where he was. Matt says, which of the newest PC signed wrestlers do you see making a huge impact the quickest? Obviously, Ruff won the belt last week, but any high hopes for someone? I think that August Gray in a tag team would be just awesome, man. He gives off like Nasty Boys vibes, but in a less piece of shit way, because he's a great dude. Brandi Lauren, I think, would be a good one too. Rob says, what do you think the Good Brothers were talking about when they said the phenomenal one, Uncle Allen, was returning? AJ signed for 3 years, right? Yeah, he ain't coming back. AJ Styles is not coming back at all. Don't have a goddamn clue who they're talking about. They could be bringing in Air Paris for all we know. Victor says, almost a year ago, you and Conrad Thompson had a Twitter exchange about is there still a market out there for creating a business surrounding wrestling? What would be your advice for people who want to get into this venture, whether it's media, journalism, podcasting, or vlogging? So personally, I want to work on polishing up a lot of our content and making it prettier, making it better, making it more interesting. I got a lot of pitches that are in the works, but you have to be willing to accept an unusual schedule if you want to do this full time. I always ask people that work with Fightful what their goals are. Is your goal to eventually write for WWE.com? Is it to be an on-screen personality for WWE.com? Is it just to write? Is it to write a column? Is it just to appear on screen? Is it to make a full-time living writing? Because there are a lot of different approaches you have to go. If somebody's goal is to just write and have a creative outlet, well, I can help you achieve that, no problem. If your goal is to make a full-time living in pro wrestling media, well, there's going to be a lot of sacrifices that you have to make. Personally, professionally, as far as your schedule goes, that's just the lay of the land. That's the nature of pro wrestling. Getting to do something that you love so much requires a lot of time sacrifice. Conrad Thompson knows that better than anybody. A lot of people say, how do you find the hours in the day? He's one of the first people in wrestling media that I looked at and said, I don't know how he manages it on top of his other successful businesses. And he has required a lot of sacrifice in that regard and a lot of hard work in that regard. And I've ran into an awful lot of people who want to cover wrestling full time, but they don't even want to put in full time hours, much less the beyond full time hours that it actually requires to do something like this. And I will not fault anybody who was able to do that, to make a full-time living without doing that. I think that's awesome. More power to them. But I can tell you from my approach, you have to be willing to do everything. And by that I mean writing columns, writing news, doing live results, doing quick results, handling social media, editing videos, producing videos, doing audio. You have to be adept at a little bit of everything. Right now, Robert DeFelice, Carlos Toro, Jeremy Lambert, and myself all can do all those things if need be. If I need Carlos to step up and do a podcast, he can do it. If I need him to do a feature or results or news or anything like that, there's nothing that any of those guys can't do in that regard. So it all depends on what your goals are. I would not ask Joe Hulbert to produce one of my videos. He does columns, he does podcasts. That's not something that he's adept at. So his goals were to have a creative outlet. Well, we helped him achieve that. If he comes to me later and says, well, I have other goals, I have to figure out how I can do my best to achieve those. When Andrew Thompson was in school, he said, when I'm out of school, I want to do full time at Fightful. So I did what I could to make that a reality. You have to look at at what you want to achieve and how best to achieve it. But my best piece of advice is produce content. I cannot tell you how many people I've seen that say, well, I'd love to get into wrestling writing. I'd love to get back into it. And then I say, well, send me your samples. And they go, I don't have any. Well, I don't have anything for you. I got to know what you can produce, because I'm not just going to bring you on, even in an internship role, and not know what you can do. I got to open up some trade secrets in doing that. So I'm not just opening that up to just anybody who can't show me that they can produce something. Also, I always say, I'll never ask somebody to work for free. If they come to me and they say, hey, I want to help, I want to gain some experience, and I'm willing to do it unpaid, then we'll see what they got and we'll see if we can find something for them. And I've had a whole lot of stuff. I've had people that ended up full-time that started out like that. Huh, long-winded answer, but I'm very passionate about wrestling media. I care about it. It's my life's work. Sheila says, Allison Kay and now Marty Bell are no longer with NWA. Are there more planning to jump ship as well? Seems like working with AEW is the only way for NWA to have some wrestling presence. Yes, there are more that are planning, and also the UWN thing is keeping them alive. Right now, they exist as a set of championship belts, and that is it. But yes, we are going to see more people leave the NWA soon. Sheila also says, does it seem like WWE is not bothered by getting bad press? Zelina's release due to the third-party edict, David Bixenspan's ongoing coverage of WWE ref Jake Wirtz, and his QAnon Proud Boy ties, allegations against Riddle and Velveteen Dream, being investigated as COVID hotspots in their country, etc. Well, I just want to say that some of those, they don't care about the bad press from Zelina. They believe Matt Riddle. I cannot tell you the reason for Velveteen Dream. The COVID thing, they're doing their best on the main roster to curb that. In NXT, they're not. I can tell you that every single month, and it used to be once a month, now twice a month, I hit up WWE PR for interviews. I know that there are sometimes they don't like things that I ask, but I'm not going to sit there and ask them crazy things. So I know that they don't want bad press in that sense, but I'm going to keep asking every single month because my readers and my viewers want me to interview their talent. They took exception to just something that I asked in April about the Kofi Kingston, Vince McMahon scuffle on a plane, or Vince McMahon being challenged or whatever, and that I asked Kofi if he was still in good with CM Punk. Punk was doing backstage for them, so I didn't think it was a big deal. The Kofi Jericho story with Vince McMahon from Jericho's book had never been asked, and they were not happy about that. They were not thrilled about that. I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was a great story. It got more attention than anything from his media tour that weekend. And I couldn't ask him about that Saturday's WrestleMania because the match was changing from a tag team match to a singles match for the tag titles, but they hadn't announced it yet. And they took exception to that. They seemed more worried about that than they are some of these other stories. And that's really all the insight I can give. PR will send me stuff, and I'm very appreciative that they do, but they don't seem keen on talking to people that they think might ask things that aren't really in, I don't want to say in their wheelhouse. It's a touchy subject. I don't know. But there are some things they just don't care about, and they think, who cares? Nobody's going to pick up on this. And other things they do care greatly about. Sheila says, non-wrestling question for once. Also, because I'm currently eating cereal, what's your favorite cereal? I've been taking a liking to malt oatmeal bag cereals because they're not half bad. I love those. I legitimately like Magic Spoon. I love Magic Spoon. I like their cinnamon flavor. If you're asking me for non-Magic Spoon flavors, I'm going Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's my jam. I gotta say, I actually do not eat a lot of regular cereal these days because the carbs are insane. And I'm getting older. I got to control that as best I can. I do want to get back in ring shape, so I stick to Magic Spoon. But kids today are living in the greatest era of cereal ever. Everything is a cereal now. It is unreal how many cereals there are. I'm jealous that I didn't grow up in this era. Man. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you all. Let me know what you guys want to see out of Fightful Select when we move over to the website. And don't sit here and think that we're going to reduce content over here until then. We're still bringing you everything. Until next time, we're out.